And we're going to open the Bible in Luke chapter 7. And the title of the talk, if you want to, the title, What Is It Worth? An Alabaster Box. What is it worth? An alabaster box. And in the Bible, what is it worth? An alabaster box. And we're open in Luke chapter 7. And there's two times in the Bible that makes mention of an alabaster box. Well, actually, there's four times. But it's two situations where Jesus Christ gets anointed with ointment from an alabaster box. And the first one is what we'll read in a moment, is at the house of Simon the Pharisee. And the second time was just before Jesus was taken to be crucified, before the supper, and he was anointed by Mary Magdalene. An alabaster box, for those who do not know, is a small vessel of stone, or marble, white stone, which has an ointment in it, or a fragrance, and was very, very costly. It cost a lot of money, and it was a special perfume, and it was sealed with wax and could not be opened. If it was opened, then you couldn't close it anymore, and you had to use it. And it was known for like a very special stone. It was beautiful to look at, and the perfume that was within it was well regarded by the people. And it was crafted with a long neck so that it could be poured out, and of course it was sealed so it wouldn't evaporate, and once it was opened, you had to use it. So there was no going back. So we'll read in Luke chapter 7 to start off with, in verse 36, and it's about a woman who anoints Jesus' feet. So Luke chapter 7 and verse 36. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meet. This was Simon the Pharisee, we read afterwards. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with ointment. So this woman in the city, she heard that Jesus was coming to this Pharisee, and she was assertive. She was very keen to meet Jesus, to go to Jesus. And she had this box of ointment in an alabaster box. And what she did, maybe she bought it that day because it was quite costly. Maybe she sold all that she had to buy that alabaster box, because she knew, okay, Jesus Christ is coming, and this is a special person. I've heard that Jesus heals people, that he forgives people, and that this is a very special person. And she begins to cry, and she begins to wash his feet with her own tears. She was crying, and her own tears start washing Jesus' feet and using her hair to dry him. And then in the end, breaking the alabaster box and pouring that over Jesus. And verse 39, now when the Pharisee which had bidden him, which invited him, saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that touches him, for she is a sinner. Now, first of all, like I said before, this woman has shown great commitment, a great commitment to go to Jesus and to use this maybe an inheritance of hers, this alabaster box, poured out the oil, and she just knew, I have to go to see Jesus. And we sing a chorus, all to Jesus I surrender. She knew that with giving this to Jesus, she would feel better herself. And for us also, you know, what have we left behind? We have heard the gospel. Someone spoke to us about the promises of God, that there is more to life than just what we see and hear in our daily lives, in the news, and that there is more after this life, and that there is a promise, and that the Bible has a promise of eternal life. You can live forever, and that's through receiving the Holy Spirit and being baptized in the promises of God, and that they are for everyone, and that not just what we have today, but to have eternal life. And this woman And she knew that Jesus had something special. And she, all that she had, she went to Jesus to give that. And people around her did not understand. This Pharisee, this man of God, because the Pharisees were religious rulers in Israel at that time, was indignation, really, that this woman was doing that to Jesus, and Jesus allowed that. This was a sinner. But Jesus, of course, knew that there was more to the story. And in verse 40, we read, "And Jesus answered unto him, unto the Pharisee, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on." And it pretty much goes on to say that Jesus has a parable about the two people who owed something, and Jesus, and one of them forgave not. And Jesus is using this parable to Simon to say, you know, this woman is a sinner, yes. Her sins are great. The things that she has done are evil. But what she has done unto me, I can forgive her. And that's how it is with God as well. No matter what we have done, if we come to Jesus and leave our old life behind, that we can be forgiven of our sins. In Philippians chapter 3, we won't turn to that. We ourselves have left all behind, of course, when we got into the baptism tank. We realized, okay, what we've heard, these promises of eternal life, these promises of healing, these promises of blessings, are they true? And we left all behind to see if it was true. We were baptized, and with the baptism, we promised that we would leave our old life behind. And you know, we prayed for the Holy Spirit. We were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke in tongues, which is the promise which Jesus would give by giving his life and standing up from the dead and having the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. And Paul, the apostle, he says in Philippians 3, "I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord." And he goes on to say, "I count all but dung that I may win Christ." Everything which was behind, everything what he did in his life. And Paul was a Pharisee. In the worldly sense, he had it all. You know, he was a person of power. He was a person of privilege. He was going to have a legacy. But all that he left behind because he knew that Jesus Christ was the one to follow. And he counted all what he had in the natural but for dung, because he gained Jesus Christ and he knew that he had eternal life, and great mighty miracles worked through him and God blessed him abundantly. And people in the world don't always understand. I remember when I, it was now 13 and a half years ago, I made, you know, the commitment, okay, I will get baptized. And I knew my family would not like it. They always said, if I get baptized, because I had spoken to my family about it, you know, they wouldn't be happy. But I knew the most important thing in my life was, okay, be right with God. I had searched, I had looked for answers in alternate means, and drugs and alcohol, philosophy, and looking to other religions, maybe if there was an answer. But no one could ever tell me what the truth was with evidence. And when some person told me I can receive truth from God, I can receive something tangible, I can receive the Holy Spirit, speak in tongues, I can pray for things and I can be healed by the power of God, it made a difference. And I thought, if this is true, I'll be stupid not to try it. So I tried it and God blessed me. I received the Holy Spirit after baptism. Soon afterwards, one moment, I was swimming in an ocean. I remember this very clearly. It was the first time I got healed by the power of God. I was swimming in an ocean, got stung by stingers, as you normally do in Australia, and got home, and all my whole body was filled with red dots. And, okay, I was in a lot of pain, and I started to pray to God. You know, if this is all true, I just want to be healed. And I started praying in tongues, and within moments, all the red dots over my body, all that pain just left me within a couple of seconds. And over the last 13 years seen many healings and many things happen in my personal life, but also in the life of my brothers and sisters in the Lord, being healed and miracles as well. So I just knew, okay, it works. It works. Now God's power works, and so many other things have happened. But my family did not understand. They saw me change. They knew something had happened. But because I had changed, I changed for the better, but not changed how they wanted me to change. And same for this woman who's anointing Jesus' feet. Now this Pharisee saw her give this precious ointment to Jesus. And for that, you know, Jesus said unto her, thy sins are forgiven, in verse 48 of chapter 7. We read in Matthew chapter 13, we'll just go to Matthew 13, just two scriptures. Matthew 13 is great reading for lots of different parables, the parable of the sower and the seed and the mustard seed, but also of the hidden treasure and the pearl of great price. And like the woman with the alabaster box, the parable of the pearl of great price in Matthew 13, verse 45, shows the commitment somebody has. Once they have found that one thing which is so great in value, something which is tangible, they leave all behind to have that. And verse 45 of Matthew chapter 13, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. He found this pearl, this one pearl, and he knew, this is what I want, this is what I need. Everything I have is irrelevant now. I will sell everything and buy this pearl. Jesus Christ is that pearl for us. We left our old life. Maybe we were rich. Maybe we had, you know, good education, that we would climb the corporate ladder or politics or something or other. We knew, okay, that's where we're going to head. But when we found that pearl of great price, all that didn't matter anymore. We just knew, okay, this Jesus Christ, the life with Jesus Christ, and being able to live our lives according to what he wants and talk to people what's happened to us and witness and testify of the healings and testify of the marvelous things that Jesus Christ has done. You know, whatever it costs, that's what we'll do. Unfortunately, you know, people in this world and in the natural are looking for more than just, you know, safety for their souls. They're looking for more wealth. A lot of people unhappy with, you know, the financial situation. They're seeking more knowledge. They're always trying to find more truth. Is there the truth? Having esteem from other people, having praise from other people in the sporting realm, or like I said before, the corporate ladder, being there as a, you know, grand CEO of a huge company, being successful and buying, you know, big house and leaving that legacy. So for some people, that is important, being able to leave a legacy behind, that they will be known, that in the history books, you know, their name will be written, and next to the name, you know, people will say good things. I mean, is that what you need? And also people, you know, fill their lives with you know, lusts and unwanted desires. As yesterday I heard something on the radio, I won't really repeat it, but I was just completely shocked that, you know, people are going at lengths just to you know, please themselves and pleasure themselves in the most ridiculous way, in drugs and sex-fueled desires, really. And I was completely just taken aback that people would go to such lengths, you know, to do these things. And it shows how the world is at the moment. And of course, you know, this has always been, but now that you hear more about it and, you know, people are not happy in what they have. The simple things in life sometimes, you know, can make you happy. We'll just go to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. These are the favourite scriptures for Lucia, my lovely wife. 1 Timothy chapter 6. As Paul writing to Timothy, and Timothy is a young person who is in charge of a church. And Paul writes to him just to give him encouragement. And in chapter 6 and verse 6, he writes to Timothy, "But godliness with contentment is great gain." Being godly, being in the Word with Jesus Christ and being happy, just the simple things, that's great gain. "For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content." If you have a house, if you have food, you know, be content with that. And it's a reminder for us, you know, most of us have a job, have a house, have a car, have a TV, Xbox, iPhone, iPad. You know, in biblical terms, we are very, very rich. In the worldly terms, we are extremely rich. You know, if our iPhone 4S is no longer workable, it's 2.5 years, 3 years old already. It's quite ridiculous that we haven't got a new one already. Normally, you know, within a year, you buy a new iPhone. I still have a 4S and I do have to upgrade. But, you know, it's something which is irrelevant when it comes down to, you know, the important things in life. And for us, you know, it's very easy to be entangled in the day-to-day, of these day-to-day things, wanting to have that new car or buying that bigger house or that better car or TV. And it's easy to get entangled into that snare. And we read on in verse 9, "But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." And it's a warning. Now, be vigilant. I mean, okay, it's okay to have these things, but to seek after it and making that your God, making those things your priority, is only going to cause strife and trouble for yourselves. And in the end, you know, have erred from the faith, it says in verse 10. We've given that alabaster box to Jesus. We've poured out the ointment. We've given everything. But why are we picking up those scraps? Once we've used it, it's done. We've used it. You know, we've left our old life behind and we've found this new life of Jesus with Jesus Christ. And verse 11. And these are the favourite scriptures of Lucia. "But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and have professed a good profession before many witnesses." Follow after the tangible spiritual things, tangible things that you can see, things that you can feel and touch. That you have, you know, that we have the Holy Spirit. We spoke out in tongues. We have healings. God blesses us. You know, we help the brothers and sisters. We go out and tell people about the gospel. You know, what's happened to us and why we are different. Let's move on to Mark chapter 14. Mark 14. Now, we have broken that alabaster box. With the long neck, we've broken it off. We've poured it out. And left it all with Jesus. And Jesus, you know, he's forgiven our sins. And we have no need of the worldly wealth or old life. But our life with Jesus, that's has no price. You can't value it. It's fantastic. Matthew chapter 14, verse 1. It's another place where Jesus is anointed. And verse 1, "After 2 days was the feast of the Passover and unleavened bread, and the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take him by craft," as taking Jesus, "and put him to death. But they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar of the people." Just before the Passover, and Jesus was to be arrested, which, you know, was a different time than what we read in Luke chapter 7. We read on in verse 3, "And being Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious, and she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why has this waste of ointment made? In John 12, we read that this was Mary that poured out the ointment. Again, it shows that great dedication. She knew that Jesus was in trouble. You know, Jesus' fame went round about, and lots of people were following. And there was also lots of rumors, you know, that Jesus, and there was something going to happen to Jesus maybe. Jesus didn't make himself very popular with the religious rulers at that time. And this woman anoints Jesus with this oil. And there was this one person who said, this is waste of this ointment. It's a waste. Why pour it on Jesus? Why not use it for something else? In verse 5 we read, for it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor, and they murmured against her. 300 pence, I'm not sure how much that's worth today, but we read another part of the Bible that those who went into the vineyard to work received one penny for the day's work. So that's a lot of working days to get 300 pence. So it was worth a lot of money. It was worth a lot of money. And they said, well, why didn't you sell it to the poor? Why use it on Jesus for just pouring it out? This is very, very precious. But because it's so precious, it's that great dedication that this woman shows. You know, she's given everything to Jesus. This costs a lot of money. Money didn't matter. She knew what's going to happen to Jesus. She probably knew what was going to happen to him. And just as an ointment and to show that respect and show that love to Jesus, she gave all that she had to him. And, you know, our lives without Jesus, now we are worthless. And with Jesus, our life is invaluable. Now we have this promise that we will inherit the kingdom of God. Now, what can be better than that? Having inheritance with God. And we have this Holy Spirit, the down payment of that promise. And that's something which cannot be bought. We leave all behind to have that that life, that promise. And just to finish up, we'll go to Acts chapter 2. Pastor Tim spoke about it just before. How are we different? How can we be a part of this great work? How can we break the alabaster box and pour out the oil and be a part of Jesus Christ's plan? And we read in Acts chapter 2 and verse 37, it was just after the 120 received the Holy Spirit, spoke out in tongues. Peter was explaining to the people who were standing there, quite a lot of people, because it was a time of the Pentecost, it was a feast. And there are thousands and thousands of people that heard them speak out in tongues. And Peter was explaining what had happened and what they had done to Jesus Christ. And in verse 37, when they heard this was the crowd when Peter was speaking, and they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And there's the answer. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And there was his promise. Repent, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. There was this promise. And this promise was for who? Verse 39, promises unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Even today, people are being baptized, people are receiving the Holy Spirit, and God is working in their lives. And you know, we have that this precious. Let's keep it and let's go on until Jesus Christ returns. And all the people said.